welcome to Conversations on Karate. I'm Sue.
I'm Greg.
And we're back to catch up and talk about our martial arts again.
Yes, a random one. Another random one.
A random one. Well, the random ones, I think, is... Ken's always telling us this, the most interesting ones he thinks we do.
Fair enough, yeah.
Absolutely. So, first of all, let's just catch up on the wider world. So, Dylan Danis and Logan Paul yesterday.
God, yeah. I thought it was really funny. I thought Dylan was going to do something stupid, but didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, yeah, it was quite genius, really.
Yeah. I hadn't seen it the way you saw it until we talked about it last night in class, because I couldn't work it out. I was just thinking, there's got to be a plan behind this. Because he threw nothing, basically, didn't he?
He's not a striker in any sense of the word.
No.
And he's never said he is.
No.
But, so I thought, what is he going to do with this?
Yeah.
And he just basically proved that Logan Paul has no boxing skill whatsoever. And he just stood in front of him for however many rounds it was.
Yeah. He just shelled up, didn't he? Put his hands up, put his guard up and laughed.
Yeah, laughed at him the whole fight. Then went for a takedown, got disqualified and took him a big bag of money. So, you know.
See, that all makes perfect sense, because I was sitting there listening to it and then watching it after and thinking, I don't understand, because in my mind you go and it would have been a serious thing, and it hadn't occurred to me that he was going to just enjoy himself.
Yeah.
And take home a big paycheck.
Yeah. Fair play to him, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play to him.
Absolutely. Fair play. And then there was Fury and KSI.
Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts on that one?
It's just a bit rubbish. Bit rubbish. I don't think KSI is any good, really. At all. I don't think he's really got it. I don't think Tommy Fury's great either. But I saw a lot of people saying, oh, it's a robbery. KSI should have won. I don't think so. It was close. It was definitely close, but it wasn't a robbery.
No, I wouldn't have thought it was a robbery. But so this Misfit thing, it seems to be just a kind of putting together random things. And
it's just nonsense is what it is.
Absolutely tons of hype.
Yeah.
It's more of a show than it is.
Yeah, there are not really any skilled fighters on there.
Mm-hmm. So it is more of a drama and an exciting event than it is a serious event.
Yeah, it's just nonsense, really. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we've dismissed all of that in about 2 minutes flat, haven't we?
Absolutely. YouTubers boxing all the time.
Hmm. So we were, okay, well, let's talk about other stuff. Let's talk about our training and things.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were saying, so we were kind of talking about karate. And you were saying that you were kind of a bit burnt out on learning more in karate. You're more excited by learning your jiu-jitsu and everything and by taking up Muay Thai.
Mm-hmm.
So we were saying we're kind of tapped out, and we're like, tapped out.
Okay. That's
tapped out.
That is the title.
Tapped out on karate. That's right. So not meaning that you're not doing it. It's just that your direction has now moved so firmly in terms of where you're learning, where you're excited, where you're motivated, or isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a hard one to put into words, really, because I think karate is a funny one. Because it's not really a thing.
No.
Karate, is it?
The more we've talked to people about this whole kind of where did this whole come from, and the more I've discovered that it's a melting pot.
Yes.
Lots of different stuff. And the more James has said to me, you know, weapons should always have been there. You know, it's a key component. And the idea that good people would teach beginners and then that beginner would go to somebody else, the more it's just kind of like lessened any attachment I have to a particular thing. And the more natural it seems to me to be able to just go somewhere else and just learn a different skill around martial arts that is fun for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to be able to go and learn something where you know what you're going to go and learn.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like if you say to someone says, what do you learn? And you say, I'm going to learn Muay Thai. You look at Muay Thai, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yes.
What you see everywhere. You look at BJJ, it's the same thing you're going to see. You might see slight different. You might see one in a gi, one in without a gi. You might see slight differences here and there, but it's by and large the same thing. You look up karate, like you don't know what the fuck you're gonna get. You got like complete nonsense followed by some really good stuff that looks more like Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu than it does quote unquote karate. It's strange. It's not really a thing, I don't think. Like, it's not a set thing. And that makes it really, really confusing and really frustrating for people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Especially people who are trying to learn as a newcomer, go to karate, because you don't know what you're going to get. You could look it up and expect to get one thing and get something completely different. And I don't think you really get that with other martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't get it with boxing, do you? You know?
No, I mean, I've not been to a boxing training ring, not training ring, but boxing training session anywhere. But I imagine I'd walk in and find a ring and a whole bunch of bags, and somebody would teach me how to do jabs and crosses and how to duck and weave.
Yeah.
And
I mean, put it this way, you're not going to go in and learn a head height round kick.
I would hope not.
No. So you pretty much know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't have that with karate.
No, it's too wide, isn't it? And as soon as you start looking online, it's so complicated. You know, you're absolutely met with a barrage of what you're most likely to see is that, you know, people in lines wearing white or looking very formal. That's what you're going to see most of.
Absolutely.
So I guess that when people come and see our stuff, they might be a bit puzzled.
Yeah.
Thinking, what is this? Why are they on the ground?
Yes, it's a tough one, I find. Yeah, it's a strange one. And I don't know how that perception will change. How that, because I don't think it will. I don't think we'll ever get to a point where you look up karate and you see something consistent. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it'll probably get worse.
Do you think it should get more consistent, though? I mean, given how people's... It's one of the... And we're looking at it as something that's maybe a problem, but is that maybe one of its strengths, that it can be taken as this great big melting pot of absolutely anything, and that it can be twisted and expanded and molded into whatever people want it to be?
I'd say, yeah, it probably is a strength. But at the same time, I wonder how often, like, I think we hold on to the term karate a lot of the time.
What would you like to call it then? If you were going to describe what you do right now.
I have no idea.
See, I do. I think it's just martial arts now at this point.
Yeah, yeah, true. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
You know, I think to myself, you know, I do. We haven't done Carly with Ken for a little bit, but we will do in the future, and that's super good fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do nunchucks and various different things, don't we? And that's super good fun. And you do jiu-jitsu, like, all the time, and you're loving it. So, you know, I can't imagine that you... It's not karate, is it? That's martial arts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. I like what I remember Matt said a while ago that he, the way he coined what he did was not MMA in the sense of MMA. It's a mixture of martial arts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought that was, yeah, that's quite a good way of putting it, I suppose. It's not mixed 100%. Martial arts. It's just a mixture of different martial arts.
Yeah, I mean, MMA, you kind of, when you say MMA, you think UFC, don't you? You think,
yeah, and that's not of, it.
No, absolutely. But yeah, there really should be. I think martial artist is probably the best we've got right now.
Yeah.
But mixed martial artist, yeah, for sure. Mixed martial artist who does all these things.
Yeah.
I think it's so good to just go out and do different stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need it.
Yeah, I mean, rather than focusing everything on karate history.
Yeah, which I still love. I love the history. I do. Mm. I read a lot of history on karate. But the more you read about it, the more you go, it's good that we're not there anymore. it's good we're not doing the, like, people go think of karate history as, well, if we could just go back to how it used to be, karate would be pretty effective, and I don't think it would.
Go on.
I just think we glorify the history because we don't really know how it used to be. We invent a lot of these like fantastical stories in our head of how effective it used to be and this, that, and the other. And I think in reality it probably wasn't. I don't think it was that, really. You're deep in thought right now.
I am. My brain just went off in four different directions. You know when that happens,
yeah.
You just kind of like So yeah, the first thing I was going to ask you, so which bits do you think people really glorify and you think that that's just not, just doesn't sound realistic or right to you?
Bunkai is one.
Okay, awesome. Yeah,
not in the sense, I think we think they did all of this kata application and that was all they practiced.
Yeah,
I don't think it was. The more you read on history, the more it might have been at one point, but I don't think that was anywhere close to modern history, like 1800s or any, like, I think it was way before then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at a lot of the history and things they would say, like, we look at their words and we go, well, when they say they learn kata, like you say, like, someone will go, oh, I was sent to this master to learn Basai Dai.
Mm.
And you go, well, that must mean that they learnt all the applications and then how to do this, that, and the other. And I don't think they did. It was just a case of, here's this form, go and practice it.
Mm.
Because the way they talk of kata and kumite
mm-hmm.
is kind of a separate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're planning on speaking to people like Joe again. So maybe that's something we can talk about with him.
Yeah, try and unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to do. But I mean, as far as what you're learning right now, I mean, you're interested in learning Muay Thai now, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say interested in learning it. It's just something slightly different. It's very similar, but it's slightly different. And it's different enough to kind of just improve the striking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, that is more like old karate than anything else.
Do you know what? I've just realised something. I know so little about Muay Thai. So, I mean, other than having, we have someone who comes and trains with us a little bit, who's a Muay Thai trained person, right, on Tuesday morning. So apart from training with them, I really have a, and so good. I mean, he's so insanely good.
Yeah.
apart from that, I don't really know that much about Muay Thai. So what kind of, do you know much about it in terms of where it comes from? What it's about?
Not massively, but I swear it was Pat McCarthy that said that Muay Thai in its old form had a heavy influence on karate.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
And that makes sense. When you look at like the way they use the elbows, the knees, not so much the round kicks, because they weren't really in karate before, like the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But like the elbows, knees, it's yeah, the clinch work, I think it's very similar. It's just way more kind of refined and advanced, I think.
Do you think that's because it's simpler?
I just think it's because they've allowed themselves to advance.
That's interesting.
Really? Like, it's got that same core system, I think, but I think they've just allowed themselves to move with the times, which is, again, something that karate hasn't. Like, I think maybe if karate was just allowed to naturally progress, it would be very different to what we have.
Mm.
But then we probably wouldn't be practicing it if that was the case.
No, because it wouldn't have spread the way it has.
No. So it's yeah, swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, the way that that's worked. Yeah, now I see that.
Deep in thought.
Deep in thought. Yeah, I'm deep in thought with that. So what that leaves you with is you just expanding what you're doing, which is basically what you're doing. You're not focusing all your energy on your karate anymore. Well, you haven't for a while, because I mean, you're really into.
Yeah, I mean, I still teach, obviously, but that's all I really do anyway in terms of karate. And we train on our Tuesday mornings.
Mm.
But that's not really a karate session. That's a, what does everyone want to do? Let's put the gloves on and spar for an hour session.
Mm. It so, is. Yeah. It's practice.
Yeah.
It's practice session. Bit of extra.
So that's the thing. Like, if you were to say, like, what does your karate training look like?
Mm.
I don't know. Because what is karate? Really? Do you know what I mean?
Like, I do.
So you could say, oh, how's your groundwork in karate coming on? Well, it's all right because I'm just doing jiu-jitsu. So are you doing the groundwork part of the karate syllabus, or are you just doing jiu-jitsu? How's your leg kicks coming on? Oh, well, are they the leg kicks that you're practicing in karate, or are they just the Muay Thai leg kicks that you're learning? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. at what point does it become karate as opposed to something else? Like, how's your hand, how's your punching looking? Because they don't look like karate punches anymore. They look more like boxing punches.
Mm.
So is it just your boxing improving, or is it your karate?
Mm.
Like, it's a weird one for me. It's really weird. It's kind of just karate in name only.
Yeah. Because we've left aside so much of the, in inverted commas, traditionalism.
Yeah. I think it's just leaving behind the stuff that, when you really strip it back, A, what's the goal of what you want people to be able to do? Which, for us, is kind of, by black belt, be a fairly well-rounded martial artist and have skills in all areas of combat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's your goal, to have skills in all areas of combat,
mm.
and we're not talking self-defense, we're just talking combat as a general term.
Mm-hmm.
You can strike, you can grapple, you can do a bit on the ground,
mm-hmm.
as like a broad goal. If you take an art and you strip it back, what are you left with that achieves those goals? And if you take karate is a general term, the way most people think of it,
mm.
and you strip it right back, what are you left with? Not a lot, really. you're left with like some good kicking mechanics and strong structure and balance, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of actual combat, what are you left with? Not a lot, really, I don't think.
Okay.
So at what point do you go, we're still doing karate? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I'd like to hear people's opinions on this, to be fair.
What point do you stop calling it karate? And if you take away all the extraneous stuff, is it still karate?
Yeah, it's like that old, what's the thing about the ship? You know, if you replace different parts of the ship over and over again for so many times, is it still the same ship by the end of it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got your car and you take out the chassis and then you replace all the bodywork and then you give it new seats, at some point it's a different car.
Yeah, at some point it's a different car, yeah. It's like the Only Fools and Horses. If you remember Only Fools and Horses?
Vividly, yes.
With Trigger's like, oh, I've had the same broom for 20 years. He's had 10 new handles and 14 new brushes. I was like, well, how's it the same bloody broom then, Trig? It's the same thing.
Do you know what? It's funny you should say that. I wasn't going to say my analogy, but it's literally exactly the same one. Only it comes from Terry Pratchett.
Oh, okay. There we go. But that is exactly how I kind of think of it now. At what point? Like, we still practice kata, but it's nowhere near to the level of how most karateka would practice kata.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny one.
It is a funny one, but they come alive when you suddenly, I think when you've done a little bit of training, enough training to kind of start to understand the moves that you're making.
Yeah.
And you were doing something like we were doing like headlocks last night, weren't we? Doing a submission.
We did like a combination into an underhook.
Yes.
And then we worked from that position. So we did takedowns, we did like a front guillotine. Yeah. And we just did a couple of different things.
So that front guillotine, I was showing somebody and sort of showing very slowly in the air how you kind of press down and then slide an arm down and then an arm across and then lift. And a student said, oh, that's in a kata. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's demonstrated several times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's a sweet moment when it happens for you. It's like, oh, okay. But it's so ridiculously important that those things link, you know, so that there is actually a consistent thread through everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so that, and when those students go, all right, and I remember those moments, and I'm sure you remember those moments from many years ago when you first started. When you first got it.
Yeah. I mean, everything we do, I can link to a kata at some point.
Mm.
Now, I don't think that's because it's in the kata. Like, I don't think that's necessarily the original kata's intention. But as humans, we're very good at, like, finding patterns, aren't we?
We do. That is literally what we do.
Like,
we
that's
look
what
for patterns
we do.
And we look for meaning.
Like, you could show me, like, I don't know, a dance from Strictly.
Yeah.
Just take one of the other people away and you could find martial arts in it. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
You could say to someone, this is an old kata from the 1700s in Okinawa. Just slow it down a little bit. Please find me the applications. And people will come up with loads of different applications for it.
Yeah.
And it's just a fucking dance. Mm-hmm. But that's just what we do. We find things that we want to find in things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why conspiracy theories are so popular, I guess. We find what we want to find.
Mm.
And with kata, I think it's good because, like, absolutely, I think it helps the students to have that link.
Mm.
I think just the way we do it's very different now, isn't it? It's not so much this is this part of the kata, you must practice it and learn it.
Mm.
It's kind of the kata's done. And if we can make the link, we will, but it's not so kind of strict, shall we say.
No, I think there's I think we're kind of dropping in a little bit of bunkai here and there, a little bit of explanation of what's going on as we teach the kata now.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Just a little bit. So it's kind of like, right, so you stand there and what you're doing here, if I stood here, step forward and punch me, right? And I mean, I heard you doing that with a student last night, and I've done it with that student before as well. It's like, if I stand here, you're going to kick me in the knee and then punch me in the chest, and I go, right, perfect. Now I'll step away, and that's that bit.
Yeah, that's, exactly. Yeah.
You know, just remember that there's a person there always.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... It's sometimes you have to add the person back in for them to go, oh yeah, we've done this hundreds of times.
Yeah, exactly. It has to have some...
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I suppose, like pattern-seeking people, we're looking for patterns. So I think it's perhaps quite easy to dismiss it if you don't have a reason.
Mm.
I guess, actually, thinking about it, that's why how you keep people curious as well. You show people that there is meaning and that they can find it and that they're free to find it.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, because, absolutely.
Because I guess martial arts is, as we've all talked about, is this very, what's it called? Dictatorial, isn't it? This is the right way to do things. You will, yeah. You know, stand in line and do everything.
Yeah.
Not always wrong to have things like that.
Sometimes you need it, for sure.
Absolutely. But, you know, I think the more that you give people, absolutely, do these things and figure out what you can do with them. Joe used to do that quite a lot, actually.
Hmm.
He used to say, right, here's a section of kata, and go off into your pairs, and I want you to find ways that you can use it. It's actually quite cool.
And everyone will come up with different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were all perfectly fine. And it was really good fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I'd forgotten about that.
But that's the thing is, I think if we were to find the original application of certain things, everyone would be so disappointed, I think.
I wonder if it wouldn't look a lot more like when you've talked about jiu-jitsu in lockdown.
Yeah.
And people were saying, okay, so while you're in lockdown, just imagine that you've got your partner with you and I want you to practice doing this thing.
Yeah.
Turn it into a kind of solo flow drill and just practice that so that when you're back with your partner, you've got the body mechanics flowing.
Mm.
Like, there you go, that'll do it then. That'll be a kata.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you wouldn't mind linking three of those together, so we've got the next couple of weeks' training sorted out.
Yeah. And I think, like, I don't think there's any doubt that's where kata comes from. So what I'm not saying is that there are no application to kata. 100% there are, obviously. But I think you look at some of the bunkai you see today, and it's very modern looking. It's very MMA looking.
Mm.
That's not what it would have been.
No.
So I think if we were to see what the original, like, two-person drill was, I think we'd go, well, I don't know if I could really use it. I don't know if that's really much use anymore. Like, we've got way better things than that.
Mm.
So, which is fine. That's how it should be, I think.
Like you say, if it was just allowed to.
Yeah, if it was just allowed to progress and evolve, I mean, like we said, we probably wouldn't be practicing it, but let's just say, for whatever reason, it did spread on its own.
Mm.
I think it would be a very different art today.
So, do you see your... Going back to your kind of feeling a bit tapped out on just the karate side of things, do you see your future martial arts just going more and more in this direction where you're just allowing yourself to just go off in different directions, choose different things, study those different things, bring them back to a sort of, just bring them back basically to you and your training?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you're not necessarily being a karate practitioner, but you are a mixture of martial artists practitioner.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I just also find like the constant kind of what's the way of putting it, like debate around different areas of karate just so boring and tiresome. Just like, have we not had this conversation for the last 20 years already, hundreds of times? Like, just
I know.
You don't get that in other things.
No, like, I'm constantly stunned by that.
It's just so, just shut up, innit? Like, just just go and train. Just, yeah. So that, yeah. And you definitely don't find that in jiu-jitsu, that's for sure. Or any, I don't think you find it in any other martial arts, really. Because it's so, again, it's so tested. Mm. You don't get that. Well, that would never work. Well, we do it this way because on the street, there are no rules and blah, blah, blah. Like, just shut up.
So something else just popped into my head the other day. Just this second, the other day. Oh my Lord, I need some sleep.
We've been doing this podcast for 3 days.
If I'm not aware of what is right now and what was the other day, I really don't know.
Okay.
The other day. I saw a thing. And it's just that conversation has just reminded me. Somebody sharing that she'd had a bunch of depression and all sorts of mental health issues, and she saw a therapist, and she'd been encouraged to start getting a really solid routine in her life. Mm-hmm. So she'd been getting up and doing good things in the morning, going exercising for 2 hours, and her whole life was measurably improving. Mm-hmm. Her partner, who did like 6 different kinds of martial arts and was deeply into self-improvement, had a huge issue with this and didn't like that she wasn't sitting in the sitting room available to him whenever he came outside of his office. And it just triggered that thought and made me think, do you know this, and it's this ego thing. Mm-hmm. This ego, there's so much fucking. And I don't know if we're exempt from that. We might not be.
Let me just say really quick.
Yeah.
Everyone has an ego.
Absolutely.
Everybody has an ego. It's just how healthy is that ego? Like, you need a little bit.
How much is in check? Yes. How much are you aware of it? How much are you going, oh, actually, yeah, I'm getting a bit smug. And that's where martial arts is quite good, because you do need the occasional punch in the face to make you realise that you're not
that's
it.
But that's why the traditional martial arts have such a huge ego, because they never get punched in the face. They never get it checked.
Yes.
Okay, you know who I'm going to say right now when I say, you know who I mean, yeah?
I do, sorry, yeah. It took me a minute.
Like, so the ego, yes, the ego on that guy is like astronomical.
Yeah.
It's and there's nothing to back that ego up at all. Like, if he walked into our class right now, he wouldn't walk out the same person.
Yeah, like, he'd get beaten the crap out of by 10-year-olds, I imagine.
Destroyed. There's an unwarranted ego, because it's that holier-than-thou type martial arts thing. Mm. Anyway, sorry, we went off on track there.
No, I think that's what we're doing, aren't we? We're thinking this one through. And I think that kind of ego that doesn't get checked every now and then. I mean, you must have found it. You must have found yourself every now and then thinking, oh, yeah, I'm a bit good here.
Everyone does. Of course you do. and then you get tapped out by a little girl and you're like, oh, they're quite good. And you just get, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but I think that's the kind of thing that is just really bad news around martial arts. It's something I really dislike. I mean, it's in everything, though, don't get me wrong, but
yeah, of course it is. I just feel like in martial arts it's very prevalent.
Mm. It is very prevalent. I don't like it. It's unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, we talk about the UFC and MMA a lot, but like, there's egos in that sporting world. because it's a business.
It's also massive confidence in yourself, and it's also a bit of projection, and it's also a bit of mind games. But there's a massive difference between having a really clear understanding of just how damn good you are.
Exactly.
Having the right people around you who are giving you solid information about how good you are.
Yeah.
They're not lying to you. They're not yes men, because that would be so dangerous. You need people who are going to give you the right information. There's a world of difference between knowing how good you are and whether you are capable of stepping into a ring.
Yeah.
And having an unchecked ego.
Yeah. I mean, if we do like jiu-jitsu, Gordon Ryan.
Yeah.
Has the biggest ego ever. I mean, a lot of it's for show, because that's his character.
Okay.
And it's hilarious.
So a bit of performance art going into that.
But a lot of it is because no one can touch him. And it's like complete, and he does it to get into his opponent's heads. Like, he'll say like, oh, make sure you tune in for some, you know, make sure you bet on me for some easy money, because, you know, it's not going to happen. I mean, he writes down what he's going to finish with in an envelope, gives it to the commentary team beforehand, and then does what he's going to do. Like, that's ridiculous.
Nice.
That's an ego that's backed up. That's not a kind of that's not an unchecked ego.
No, I wonder. I know nothing about him. What do you know much about him? As in
Gordon Ryan?
Yeah. So, what do you reckon would happen if he did that, and then somebody came along who beat him? Do you think he'd go, well, do you know what? Fucking fair enough.
Yeah, 100%. Well, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
that's the difference, isn't it?
100%.
That's the difference. Can he take a hit? Can he take having his ego checked?
Absolutely. But he's, you know, because he's under someone like John Danaher, who is one of those coaches who will keep you in check.
Mm.
Yeah, he's never been someone who talks shit online. But he's also someone who's not going to stop someone from doing that, because he wants them to be their own person. Mm-hmm. And he knows that by Gordon doing that, it's going to get the big fights. He's going to get the good paydays from the fights. So go ahead and do it. But he also knows that he also knows that if he does get humbled, he will be humble with it, because that's the way he taught him to be.
Mm. Yeah. That's really good. But it's easy. It's so easy to not want to take that being humbled part of things. And that's why it's so good to, it's one of the other reasons which we talked about before, to try something new so that you do get humbled. Yeah. So that you don't get too complacent in what you're doing. And that's, I think it's, if martial arts is your thing, then I think the simplest thing is just stay curious.
Oh, just another quick thing on that is, you compare that to KSI the other night.
Yeah.
Right, who's just surrounded by yes men who go, yeah, you're a really good boxer, you know, yeah, you're really good, you are really good, you're like, you're different, you know. And he comes out all the time with his massive ego saying, oh, I'm just different to everybody else, I'm, you know, I'm better than everybody else. It's like, well, A, you haven't fought anyone really that good, and then when he does lose, he throws a tantrum and just goes crazy. Like, it just shows, like, your ego is just out of control. Just accept the loss and move on.
Yeah, and if you want to get better at this, get better at this.
Well, yeah, just shut up and go back and train. It's a funny thing.
It is a funny thing. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. She's done kickboxing for years. She's really good, really talented girl. I've seen her fight. She's great. And I don't think she's even a black belt. She's just really good. And she's just, I'm just going to do Tai Chi now for a bit. It's just like, she's interested in that. She's got a sword and a fan, and she's just really into it and just loving it. It's like, yeah, that is 100% the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
You don't, that's something else actually that I've been plagued with, is you have to finish what you've started. You have to go down this path now. You've committed to it. You cannot. It's a failure if you stop or change direction. You have to do all of it. And I've just suddenly realized how much that weighs on me.
Really?
Mm. suddenly realised it. I just suddenly felt that I would feel guilt if I did that.
Interesting.
Wow. Weighs on me. I've just noticed it's there. Yeah.
But see, when you say, I have to finish this, right?
Yeah.
At what point is it finished?
Oh, probably, you know, sort of 19 dead.
Yeah. But is it, you know, have you finished karate when you get your black belt? Have you finished karate when you get your second dan? Or your third dan? Or your fourth dan? Or your tenth dan? Like, when is it finished?
I don't know.
It finishes at different stages for everyone.
Yeah. I think, I don't know.
Someone might start and say, I don't want to get to black belt. I want to learn some stuff and I want to get to a brown belt.
Mm.
At that point, it's finished for them. They've done it.
Yeah.
So I think the same way as if you say, I just want to get a black belt. Like you hear people say all the time, like, oh, I can't believe they got their black belt and they left.
Mm. Well,
why? That might be just what they wanted to do. They've done it. Like, you can't say that they're wrong for doing that. Like, if that's what they set out to do and they did it, they might want to go and do something else now.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I ever had that before. I've always had a kind of, you've got to finish what you've started kind of feeling. But there isn't a sense that there is a place where it is finished. No.
No.
I think there's perhaps some idealized picture in my head of what that might look like. That's some kind of fantasy perfection that can never. And I know that that's always been there. Like this like idea of something that I'll probably never reach. And I think we maybe all have that.
Yeah, this, for sure.
Fantasy idea that we all morph into some magical thing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we become, you know, I don't know, something amazing.
Mm.
Some kind of anime superhero. Turn into Wonder Woman. I shall come in with my lasso of truth.
Absolutely.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Did you know the person that created Wonder Woman and the lasso of truth was the inventor of the lie detector test?
Really?
Mm.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So he made his own lasso of truth.
He did.
Yeah. Random fact for everyone.
Random fact of the morning. Anyway, go tell everyone. Tell everyone that. Greg says.
I can't remember his name. I cannot think of his name now.
Mm. I love that. I think that's that kind of just proves the point that I've read quite a few times, is that all artists are just working out their own stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through whatever means they're doing it. So, and martial artists are artists in some respects as well. So we're all working out our own stuff here.
William Moulton Marston, that's who it was.
Okay.
Yes. He was the creator of the, whatever, which came a big component of the modern polygraph. There we go.
There we are. Well, thank you for that. I feel richer for this knowledge.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, I shall go off and maybe watch an episode of Wonder Woman somewhere later today.
Yeah, I would.
You think?
Yeah.
I've just started watching Ghosts. I'm a bit overcommitted right now.
Okay.
It's very sweet. Have you ever watched Ghosts?
No. Can't say that I have.
It's nice. It's got kind of that gentle English comedy with the supernatural, which is right up my street.
Nice. I need to watch the Gen V, which is the boys' like spin-off.
Is that out?
It's out, yeah. Apparently it's quite good.
Okay. Watch Gen V.
I'll have to catch that.
Is that on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a new season of The Boys coming out?
There is, but I don't think it's until probably next year.
Okay. That was fun.
Yeah, I like The Boys.
I did. There's some stuff in there that was definitely very, very eyebrow raising.
Yes, there was.
Yeah, every now and then you'd open you. Oh my God! Just stare at it and go, "Wow, I can't believe I just."
Yeah.
I just saw that. Someone thought about that, and then they actually filmed it. Wow. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Imagine being one of the special effects guys on that. What am I doing today, boss? Well, have you ever thought about 3D modelling the inside of this?
Yes, a little bit of anatomy, very tiny yeah. person inside of it, and then yeah. we want the whole thing to explode, please.
Yes. Okay.
And now, actor, if you could just imagine that this has happened and then you're about to explode, that would be great. Show us what that might look like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. Okay.
Yes. Right.
Well, I think exploding body parts and the lasso of truth is probably a good place to end this.
Yeah.
Extremely random conversation.
See, now that gives me another title.
What's that?
Exploding body parts and the lasso of truth. I feel like that's a good hook to get people listening. That's a good title.
Mm. Exploding body parts and the lasso of truth. Is it lasso or lasso?
Lasso? I always said lasso.
It's written as lasso, so it's different from a lasso.
I guess. I don't know.
Just remember being brought up with lasso. Cowboys with their lasso.
Isn't it the same? Maybe it's just a different way of saying it.
I think it might be a different way of saying it. Inquiring minds need to know. Actually, genuinely, this has been bugging me for a while, but of course I've made no effort to go and look it up, but I would genuinely love to know. So if anyone knows this, please do share it and let me know, because it would be just one thing in my mind that I could let go of. Just one thing.
Just let Sue know. What is it?
Sleep, finally. We can all sleep at night. All right. On that note, then.
On that note, we will see you all next week for the UFC.
Oh, my God, we are. It's going to be so exciting.
It's going to be fun, yeah.
Volkanovski said yes to a change in weight class and a brand new opponent at 2 weeks' notice. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
He is the man. Win or lose, he is the man.
He is.
And if you have a different opinion, you can tell us that too. That's okay.
Yeah, we won't listen, but you can tell us.
We will listen. We're very nice people. All right, everyone.
We will see you all for that next time.
For that, yeah. And I'll catch you soon, Craig. Take care.
Yes, take care. Goodbye. Bye.